TSL Pass subscribers to the January 11th, 2005 edition of TSL Audio. Today's guest is going to be Mike Harris of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. We're coming to you from TSL's offices in Radford. We've got Mike on the phone. He's in Richmond, of course. Today is my oldest son's birthday. He's 6 years old, so everybody wish him happy birthday. And yeah, I can't believe he's a third of his way to college. That's pretty depressing, but Mike knows what that's like. He's got a couple of kids in college now. Topics today, folks, we're going to cover some Virginia Tech football stuff. We're going to go over Jimmy Williams, and whether or not we think he's going to go pro, and talk a little bit about Mike Hinton, Justin Hamilton. There's some news there concerning those guys. And then we're going to transition into a little bit of hoops and talk about Jeff Keane going to over to play basketball. God knows Seth Greenberg could use the help, particularly in rebounding. And then just go over some hoops items in general. So without further ado, as my friend Mike likes to say, we'll welcome Mike to the show. Mike, how you doing?
Doing great, and happy birthday to your son.
Yeah, how about that? We're going to give him a guitar today. He's been playing a little keyboard for about a year or so, and so we're going to try the guitar out on him now. He's one of those kids that when he walks by a music store and sees the guitars, he wants one. So he's getting a little $40 Walmart model, and we'll see how that goes.
Be a little noisy around your place for a while.
Well, as long as we don't give him drums, we're okay. Yeah, he's, Lord knows his mouth is noisy enough. He doesn't need a set of drums to get it to.
Well, enjoy it, because before long, they'll be in college, and your house will be quiet most of the time. So cherish that noise.
Well, that's okay, but could you tell me that before long I'll be able to afford college for him? That's the news I want to hear.
No comment.
All right. All right, folks, I know that you're used to listening to a lot of archives of me appearing on Mike's TechSideline.com recruiting report, so it's a little, maybe you've had a little bit enough of the talking of me and Mike, but we'll try to throw a different spin on it today. And, Mike, let's talk about Jimmy Williams first. When Jimmy Williams first came into Tech, Mike, the line on him was, what was being said behind the scenes as I talked to guys around the program was, well, one guy flat told me, Jimmy Williams hates school and can't wait to get out of here. And he said that 3 years ago when he first arrived. But you hear something a little different these days. You hear he's kind of into the college experience, but by the same token, Mike, if he's going to be a guy who can maybe go first round for the NFL, then, he's got to look at things and maybe go. So, what's the latest that you're hearing there, and what are your thoughts on his situation?
Well, I think he's definitely an NFL player. Is he an NFL player now? Well, maybe not. But you're right. If he's going to go in the first round, in my mind, you got to get out. The economic realities are simple. Mike Vick wanted to stay in school another year. He needed it. He enjoyed it. But you can't turn down that kind of money. I mean, as much as you enjoy Tech Sideline and I enjoy the Times-Dispatch, somebody weighs $60 million at us, we're probably going to say goodbye. Now, Jimmy's a little different case. Nobody's talking about him being the number one pick. It's not even certain he'll be a first-round pick, though personally I think he will be. I think he showed this year he can be an excellent corner. What a great move that was, flopping he and Vincent Fuller. Worked out for both of them. He's got some maturing to do, but that doesn't put him in the minority among a lot of college players or guys in the NFL, as we saw with Randy Moss, who have some maturing to do. I'm hearing that he's leaning toward staying, but clearly has to explore it very carefully. He has come to enjoy the team, the college experience. He'd like to be able to stay. The NFL's got a great system in place where it can give the kids a pretty accurate reflection of where they'll go, and I think if he hears definitely in the first round, he's out.
Yeah, and, the deadline is this Friday the 15th, correct?
Yes, yeah. 15th. Is that Friday or Saturday? Whenever it is, that's the deadline.
That is Saturday, I think, actually. But, Williams is a little bit of a different situation. The rap on him when he was playing safety last year was, Mike, I'm not so sure it wasn't that he didn't know the position. It was that he tended to freelance quite a bit and get out of position. Does that mean he didn't know where he was supposed to be? It's hard to say at this point. And, we're talking about a year ago anyway. But I was really, and people who have read my stuff know this. I was extremely impressed with him down the stretch, particularly in run support. He was just a ferocious tackler in run support.
Well, Coach Ward has told me several times that if you limit what you want Jimmy to do and tell him specifically what you want him to do, in other words, don't be out there freelancing, don't give him so many opportunities to vary from the script, which you have as a safety, he'll be just fine. The cornerback is often left alone, often at an island, but he has very specific responsibilities. And they're able to say, Jimmy, you need to do this, this, and this. And he did this, this, and this, and did it very well.
Now, is the book on him that he would be a safety in the NFL? NFL, or, you know, could he possibly play corner?
He could probably play corner there. I think he proved this year he can handle that. He can handle the one-on-one coverage. As you mentioned, he did a real, real good job in run support. The fact that he made All-ACC shouldn't have surprised anybody. I think he definitely had that kind of year. And, again, it's important responsibilities. It's responsibilities that if you mess up, somebody's going to score a touchdown. But it's very specific. The safety's more of a center fielder, they like to say, is responsible for himself and other people. And as you said, who's to say he can't handle that one day? He didn't do a real good job of it as a sophomore at Tech, but as a junior, he made himself into an all-league cornerback. I think one more year of that kind of progress, and he's a definite first-rounder, maybe even a top 15 pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have to make that decision if I was him, but, you know, we'll see how it comes out. One thing that has surprised me a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, is that there hasn't been any talk about anybody else possibly coming out. Specifically, a guy that I thought was an option was Darryl Tapp, you know, because Darryl's got, he's got NFL size, you know, what is Darryl, 6'2", 6'3", and about, you know, in the 250 range with great speed. But there was no talk about whether or not Darryl was going to come out. Why do you think that is?
Well, I wonder if he's a little bit of a Corey Moore. Is he an end in the NFL, or is he a linebacker? I think as much progress as he made, another All-ACC guy, had a tremendous year. I don't think there's any question he's not quite ready to make that leap. You know, we have been talking about Jimmy both, you know, on the Internet, in newsprint, on radio, on TV. Wouldn't it be something if he stayed and somebody else we didn't even mention came out? But I would think Darryl knows he needs another year. Darryl is also real close to getting his degree. The college experience means a lot to him, and I think he would make himself a first-rounder with another year. I don't think he's a first-rounder right now, but I think he's an NFL player.
Yeah, I think you're right. And just for the record, he's listed at 6'1", 265. I don't see him getting a lot bigger than that, but, you know, I thought the same thing about Jim Davis. And Jim Davis took that year off, and he put on 10 pounds, I think, and it was a good 10 pounds. He
very solid 10 pounds.
Guy. Yeah, and another guy I thought there might be some talk about was Jonathan Lewis. You know, Jonathan doesn't have a lot of statistics. Of course, he's a defensive tackle, you know, but I just thought he really stepped up his game this year and was really disruptive. And now, don't misinterpret me. I think it would be a mistake for Jonathan to come out, but I thought that he also elevated his game enough to where maybe he would think about it.
Right. He has now made himself somebody you think of as an NFL prospect, but again, do you think first round? And I don't think you can come out early if you're not going to go in the first round. It's just too much of a risk. The money isn't that great. You can greatly increase your stock. And I think Jonathan, like Darryl Tapp, is a guy people will now look at hard next year, and maybe he can make himself into a first rounder. You know, a year ago, after last season, if I'd have said that to you, you'd have laughed at me. Now we're thinking, hey, maybe. But he's another one who isn't quite ready. And the odd thing, or the interesting thing about the three young men we've talked about, they're all true juniors. Yeah. So they're all young. They didn't have that redshirt year. Jim Davis didn't have one either, although he did have a year at Fork Union, but when he finally was forced to take one because of the injury, look what he turned it into. So another year of college, I don't know how much bigger they can get, but they can definitely get stronger. They can get a little more football savvy, although both of them have it in abundance. I just think another year does those guys a lot of good. It would be a mistake for them to come out, whereas it might not be a mistake for Jimmy to come out.
You know, Jonathan, I'm sitting here looking. He's 6'1", 289. He was listed at 6'1", 301, I think, as a sophomore. And that was a good 12 pounds that he dropped. That was, it obviously did a lot for his game. And he's got a motor now that goes the whole game as opposed to just, you know, a certain number of plays here and there. So, yeah, I think if Jonathan elevates his game between this year and next year as much as it did between last year and this year, he'll be in good shape, particularly if he can put on 5 or 10 good pounds back on and get up in the 300-pound range. I think he'd be maybe more ready to play in the NFL.
I agree. Another year of the kind of progress he made, just like Darryl Tapp, and they will be very solid NFL prospects. But the only guy you look at now and say surefire first-round potential is Jimmy Williams.
Now, let's talk about the defensive backfield a little bit, because some of the news that came out this week is that Justin Hamilton, the often-moved Justin Hamilton, is going to switch from tailback back over to the defensive backfield. Specifically, Rover or free safety, or have they decided that yet?
I believe free safety. Robert Parker, another former receiver, is working out at Rover. You've got Kent Hicks, the redshirt, who is a potential Rover. So I think free safety. Now, Vincent Fuller and Mike Daniels are both gone. They've recruited some kids. They like the Miller kid who is redshirting, but I think they wanted some. And if you know Justin Hamilton, and Vincent Fuller, they share a lot of the same personality traits. Sharp, organized, can handle that. The question is Justin ever done it, and can he do it in a year? It's kind of a, I understand the move, and I don't understand the move, if that makes sense. It's kind of odd. He's kind of like Keith Purnell, maybe, who was a very good running back, did a nice job until he lost the job to Kevin Jones, but was just, you could tell, wasn't quite as good as the guys ahead of him, Suggs and Jones. And I think Justin's in the same boat. He's a nice running back, but you got Emo, you got Humes, you got Elon Lewis coming in next year, you got Brandon Orr redshirting, as Billy Hyde often says, I ain't got the one football. So I don't know that offensive back is a spot for him. Now, quite frankly, I was surprised when they moved him away from receiver. I thought he had become a very solid possession-type receiver. Wilford was your big play guy, your number one guy, but Justin was the leading returning receiver coming into this year with Ernest gone. I thought he'd become a solid receiver. Clearly, they like their young talent. Clearly, the young talent proved him right. He's kind of a man without a position. He's an awfully good football player, can do a lot of things, but it seems like wherever he goes, there's somebody who can do it just a little bit better. And moving a guy there for 1 year, how much are they going to put into a guy who can only help them for 1 year?
Well, if you remember, Keith Purnell did that. He switched from tailback to Rover, and if I remember correctly, spent a spring at Rover and then transferred out to Delaware, was it?
Right.
And
actually spent a moment, and it might have been less time than we've been talking, at receiver.
Yeah.
They kind of moved him over there and then over to the other side. Ended up going to Delaware and having a pretty solid
season. Yeah. And, of course, the difference between Hamilton and Purnell is that Hamilton has played receiver for, a couple of years. So the key thing there is, Mike, he knows the passing game. He knows it from the offensive side, and that will hopefully ease his transition over to the defensive side because he knows all about, reading defenses from the offensive side.
So. Yeah, he knows how to think like a receiver. Now, you'd think as a receiver, maybe he could go back there and play that kind of Richard Johnson role. But toward the end of the season, David Clowney had become, with Royal and Hyman starting, David Clowney had become the third receiver, the number 1A, if you will, because they use three receivers a lot. You've got Gilchrist, who redshirted this year. You've got Morgan and Harper. And, didn't Morgan have a great bowl? It's just, there's another case where really good Justin Hamilton, but some guys who are just a little bit better.
Okay, so free safety, we've probably got Hamilton over there. Have they made their mind up, Mike, if they're going to move Jimmy Williams, if he stays, they're going to move him back to safety?
I don't think so. I think they're going to leave him right where they are. They've got an all-league cornerback, a guy who really proved to be pretty good. I have not heard that, and if they do, I think, they're making the same mistake they made 2 years ago. He's not a safety, he's a cornerback. He proved that this year.
So is your thinking that Kent Hicks is a guy who will probably, if he develops through the spring, will move into that starting position at free safety?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking they might look at him more closely at Rover. Mm-hmm. He's gotten pretty big. He was big to begin with. Heck of a talent. Chose to redshirt because he knew he needed to get a little bit stronger. I'm kind of guessing he's going to be the Rover. Terry Wade, I guess, would be the incumbent because Mike Daniels backed up both Griffin and Fuller, so you lose your backup at two positions with Mike graduating. Be interested to see. I think a lot depends on how the Miller kid, Theodore Miller, who was Roland Miner's teammate in high school. I was talking to Lorenzo Ward earlier in the season about Roland Miner. And I said, you got another kid from that. I couldn't even think of his name. And he goes, Theodore Miller. And he said, everything I've told you about Miner, apply it to Miller. He said, that kid's going to be real good. See, he was just kind of an odd size. He's taller than most of your cornerbacks. Wasn't heavy enough yet, but he said he's got safety written all over him. Now, if he makes the kind of progress where they're convinced that he can handle it, then you can go with Hicks at Rover and have yourself a nice, big, strong Rover.
All right. Yeah, I see here now. I finally got wise and pulled out my depth chart, and you're correct. Miller is listed at free safety position. And Hicks, see, my thing about Hicks is I know that Hicks came in at one of those safety positions, struggled with it, and they moved him to the other. And looking at the depth chart here that was released in late November, my take is that he started out at free safety and they moved him over to Rover because he's listed at Rover right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's kind of where they have their eye on him for the future.
All right. So, of course, the next thing to enter into the discussion is Michael Hinton. And, Michael is going to be returning. Some of the buzz coming out of Blacksburg is that they're going to talk about it, but I've talked to people who have said, no, Hinton is definitely coming back. And to refresh people's memory, let's make sure we get our facts straight here. Michael's had a number of incidents he was involved in. We'll go over the facts and then talk about his background a little bit. He was, if I recall, charged with misdemeanor assault and battery in late 2003, was found not guilty of that. had at least one incident where he was fighting with teammates, you know, a physical fight. And the word is it specifically David Clowney, and he got into it before the Hokies went to the Insight Bowl in 2003, and that's why the two of them stayed home.
They did not make that trip, correct?
Then, of course, there was the McDonald incident last year where he wound up being charged with felony assault and battery, correct?
And malicious wounding and destruction of property.
Right. Now, what was the outcome of all that? Because that didn't get any play in the news. What happened when he went to trial for that?
Well, we ran a couple of paragraphs when it got to what happened. In a nutshell, is I can't remember which specific charge was. A couple of the charges were dropped. The felonious assault charge was dropped down to a misdemeanor. He got a 30-day suspended jail sentence and a pretty hefty court cost slash fine charge of like $1,450. And his case is on the docket as coming up for review in early February, where essentially they bring him in and say, you've been keeping your nose clean. Have you been doing what we asked? And if he says yes, then he's okay. And if not, you know, a suspended jail term, they can basically call that note in any time. So that's what's up with that. He was not convicted of a felony. He was charged with a felony but convicted of a misdemeanor.
And the key, of course, is if you're convicted of a felony, forget about it. You're not going to play for Virginia Tech.
So correct.
The fact that it got bumped down to a misdemeanor opens the door for him to come back. Now, the thing about Michael Hinton is, you know, Mike, he's one of those kids that comes from just a rough background, you know, and he is a kid who grew up learning to defend himself with his fists and perhaps, you know, think in that fashion before just trying to resolve things. The buzzword they like to say, you know, anger management issues and that sort of thing. So, you know, Hinton's a little bit different from that standpoint, Mike, in that some kids like Marcus Vick make mistakes, you know, and you say, well, that's a mistake. He just needs to get smarter and not do that again. But in Michael Hinton's case, he has a personality, I don't want to use a word flaw, but there's a characteristic to his personality, and that's much more difficult to overcome than just making an error in judgment here and there. So, you know, I think Frank Beamer's taking a big risk here, but he wants to do something for the kid. He wants to get him back into football, back on the field, because this kid doesn't have anything other than that, you know, and this is his ticket to a good life, to, you know, getting a college education and maybe getting into the NFL because he's got that kind of physical talent. And he's a kid that's going to be slotted at Rover, from what I understand, so he'll be in that competition there. Now, we're getting a little short on our time, so let's transition over and talk to Hoops for a second. We've got Jeff Dean coming over and from the football team, making his debut tomorrow night against Mighty Bethune-Cookman, Wednesday night in Castle Coliseum. Jeff is, help me out here, Mike, 6'5", is that correct?
6'5", about 260. He's got great size for a tight end. I don't know how that size is going to translate to basketball because 6'5 is small forward size there.
Yeah, and he...
or big guard.
The key thing is he's got 30 to 40 pounds on the next heaviest guy on the team. I think Coleman Collins only runs about 225, if I remember correctly. So just went back and looked up some archives on Jeff out of the Roanoke paper this morning. They did an article on him back when he was in high school, Mike. They did it in February of 2001 and talked about how he was averaging 25 points and 14 rebounds a game. And they had a quote from his high school coach who said that he had a double-double in every single game as a junior, and at that point, through 16 games as a senior, he'd had a double-double in every single game. Now, if I'm Seth Greenberg, I put King in the game, and I say, you go stand under the basket and rebound, and if you get it, give it to somebody else. But what I hear is that he also likes to put the shot up. That article said that King had tried 37 three-pointers.
Wow.
In his high school career, and had made 10 of them. And he said, yeah, I like to come down. You see, Mike, they were double and triple teaming him because he was such a force inside, because I think Pulaski County had gone to double-A basketball, had gone to a double-A classification at the time. So teams would double and triple team him. So if he got the ball down court and got it around the three-point line and was open, he'd take the opportunity to take a shot. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the team. And, you know, have you had a chance to talk to Seth Greenberg about it yet?
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday about it just a little bit to confirm that he was indeed going to be in uniform tomorrow. And Seth said, yeah, we can find one big enough because, as you mentioned, they don't come that wide. I guess Terry Taylor's uniform's still around there somewhere. I'm real eager to see what he looks like because I remember last year when Brian Randall joined the team, I wondered how that's going to work. He was, you know, player of the year as a junior, but double-A high school basketball is a lot different than Big East basketball.
Yeah.
and ACC, which the Hokies are in now. And I thought that experiment worked very well. I think Brian brought a lot to the team beyond just playing. He wasn't a great player, but he wasn't bad. He helped them on the court. Remember, he got that stick back that beat St. John's at home, thanks to his hustle in the lane. He says the same type of things about Jeff King as a person, and that's what they need. This team this year is crying out for leadership, crying out for what Seth calls a winning personality. And we know Jeff has that. Now, he's not as vocal. Jeff is one of the brightest guys I've ever dealt with, one of the nicest guys I've ever dealt with. He's not an overly vocal or expressive guy. But inside the locker room, that may be different. And in high school, 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds, I don't care where you're playing, that's a lot. Now, I had the stats up when you called because I'm doing my fact box. Tech is getting out-rebounded by an average of 5.4 a game. And that's a lot, particularly when you consider a couple of their opponents were a little bit on the weak side. Rebounding is a significant problem. You got your point guard, your assist leader, guy who leads the ACC in steals is also your rebounding leader. That's not good. They're big guys. Dixon, 4.4. Collins, I hate to knock him because he's had the foot problem and he's just now getting back into playing shape, 4.2. Deron Washington has fallen off to 4.7. They need somebody, as you said, clean the glass and get it out to those guards. Because I tell you what, Gordon and Dowdell are good guards. That's a nice backcourt.
Yeah.
Get them the ball. And I think if King can contribute 5 rebounds a game, anything else he does is a bonus, particularly if he adds that quote-unquote winning personality.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him play. And, of course, I'll be there tomorrow night to take a look. It starts at 7 o'clock. And tickets should be readily available, folks, for those out-of-conference games like that, like the Morgan States and Loyola's. I've been able to go outside Castle Coliseum and buy tickets off of people for $5 a piece, and they're glad to get the $5. And there have even been instances where people have said, here, take the ticket. So, you know, if you're in the area, show up and see the team and see Jeff play, and, you know, maybe they can get that thing started. One more issue to talk about on basketball, Mike, and that is the fact that Marquise Cook did not play a single minute down at Florida State. The word there is that I think both Marquise and Xavier Dowdell were late getting back from New Orleans. I think Seth let them stay there a couple extra days, and those two guys didn't make it back in time. And Xavier, of course, did not get to start against Florida State and entered the game with about 7 minutes into it. Marquise didn't play at all. So, you know, what do you hear there? What's going on?
Well, that came up with Seth yesterday, and he I don't want to say brushed it off, but his answer was, it's a discipline issue. It's been taken care of. Everything's done. What I hear is, now, of course, they got a very short break over Christmas. The football players actually got to go home a little longer over Christmas than they did because they had to get back and get to New Orleans. But then they had like 10 days before the Florida State game, so Coach Greenberg gave them a little more time off to do with what they will. Dowdell was late, but I think informed them. That's the first game he's played in that he hasn't started, but he still played, and if I remember correctly, was a leading scorer. My understanding, Marquise Cook did not contact anybody that he was going to be late or why he was going to be late, so he was benched for the entire game. You know, Marquise was an interesting case. Seth admitted when he signed him that he was taking a risk. He had some issues in high school. Seth didn't think they were serious enough to back off entirely, but some other schools did. So he came in under the quote-unquote discipline spotlight, so to speak. A lot of people are watching that carefully to see what happened. He hasn't been around long enough for me to get any feel for the kind of kid he is. I think it's taken him a while to get up to speed as a player. He hasn't dazzled anybody yet. But this issue, I we'll see. Over the next 5 or 6 games, we'll get an idea if it was kind of a one-and-done thing. Is it over, or is it going to be a lingering problem? And if it's a lingering problem, I'm eager to see how Coach Greenberg reacts, because when you're a young team trying to find your way in a league like the ACC, you cannot afford to have that kind of thing holding you back. It's tough enough to win, even when things are going well.
Yeah, I mean, chemistry is extremely important, and I think your statement that we'll just have to wait and see is correct. You know, I think the Marquise Cook situation is one that, I see a lot of people on the message board saying things like, they have to send assistant coaches down to talk to him. It looks like his head's not in the game. He stands there outside the huddle and stares into the crowd and things like that. And I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in that kind of stuff, you know. I think we're just going to have to let this thing play itself out and see how the rest of the year goes and what happens from here on out.
Well, if you watch assistant coaches during the game, though, that's not that uncommon.
Yeah,
a head coach, you know, a kid makes three or four mistakes, and the coach has to bring them out. So say to one of his assistants, hey, go get his head straight, because you know, we got a timeout coming in 10 seconds, and I got to yell at these other guys about something. That's not uncommon. A kid will come out, a coach, be it Brad Greenberg, Ryan Odom, or even Seth Greenberg, will go down there and spend some time with him, but it can't always be the head coach. So, yeah, that's not indicative of a problem.
Yeah.
A young guy is going to get down. Deron Washington, they've had to talk to a little bit. You know, he got off to that great start. It hasn't come as easily lately. You look, you'll see guys down there talking to him. No one's ever indicated that he's any kind of a problem. He's just down on himself a little bit because it's not coming as easily. That's not a red flag at all.
Yeah, so let's not see things that perhaps aren't there. Okay, Mike, appreciate it. We've gone about 25 minutes or so. I usually like to take these things, cut them off at 20 minutes, but enjoyed it. I think we've got some good stuff here. And you going to be in town for the Bethune-Cookman game or what?
I'm going to miss that one, but I will be there for the Clemson game and the NC State game right on top of that Wednesday. And we'll get heavy into our basketball. It's been nice. I've had a little break since I got back from New Orleans to catch my breath. Wonderful trip, but a busy trip. But now I'm refreshed and ready to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these ACC heavyweights come in here. And I think somewhere along the line the Hokies will be able to steal one. You know, I think they've got a lot of work to do, and it's going to take years. But I'd like to see them just get some sort of feather they can put in their cap for the end of the season.
Oh, they will. I think the debut against North Carolina, that's a tough opener as teams are finding out. North Carolina may well be the best team in the country. They've got weapons at every position and a couple more weapons on the bench. That might be the best team Tech plays all year.
All right, Mike, thanks for being on, and drive carefully when you head to Blacksburg this weekend.
All right, we'll see you this weekend. Thank you, Will.
All right, folks, that does it for us this time. Sorry we ran a little bit over. Hope this file didn't wind up to be too long and take too long for you to download. Yes, we're looking for later on. We're going to try to get in contact with somebody from the state newspaper down in South Carolina, talk about the Clemson game coming up this weekend. And I'm also going to try to contact Dave Glenn in the ACC Sports Journal and just get his take on some very interesting stuff that I read in his publication recently, the ACC Sports Journal. So that's signing off for this edition of TSL Audio, folks. Thanks for listening.